following program is brought to you in living color on
DailyGazette.com or wherever you get your podcast.
The Daily Gazette Company presents the Parting Shots Podcast. Now, here's your host, Daily Gazette sports editor, Ken Shot.
Thank you, Scott Giese, and welcome to the Parting Shots Podcast. Available wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe today. Thanks for joining me from the Parting Shots Podcast studio in Schenectady, New York. And Josh Algie, the Union Men's Head Hockey Coach, joins me. And Josh, this is the season finale. I mean, I hate to say it, but obviously the season ended over the weekend with the quarterfinal losses to Dartmouth, and we'll recap the season in segment two. You lost by scores of 3-1 and 4-2. And let's talk about the games. First of all, the team really had a lot of momentum heading into that quarterfinal series after beating Brown 6-0 in the first round game. And I thought this Dartmouth series would go to the distance. The first period was a bit of disjointed. Union had a 1-0 lead on a Nick Young goal off a nice setup from Caden Villegas. I mean, how impressed were you with that goal with a defenseman like Young going into the net to tap into Villegas' pass?
Yeah, he got to the net extremely hard, and he was actually behind, you know, the guy that was trying to, you know, get underneath his stick, and he outworked him and got in front of him and was able to get a stick on it. And typically when we're up in the first period, we score the first goal, we have a lot of success. So I felt really good about it, even though, you know, the first period wasn't perfect, but, you know, we're up 1-0.
Yeah, I mean, did the team feel good about that first period? You're on the road, you get that lead, and you put the Dartmouth behind the make them play catch up.
Yeah, and I think you know, the first 10 minutes, I didn't think it was the cleanest of hockey for us in the season, but I thought the last 10 we were much sharper and really kind of had worked our way into the game, and felt confident that, you know, being up 1-0, we did have technical difficulties because the our video system went down, so we had no video for the in between the first and second. So wow, that was the only really frustrating thing. We were trying to get that squared away.
How did that happen?
Our video guy does an amazing job for us, and he all of a sudden he said, "Hey, we've lost, our footage," and so we're trying to watch it on the ESPN Plus feed, which isn't, you get minute 30 ads popping up, and you're just like, "Oh, you only have 15 minutes," so it was a bit of a scramble situation.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, that may have been a sign of things to come. Was that second period was a tough one for Union. Dartmouth scores all three of its goals in that period and started 33 seconds into the period when Braden Dorfman scored. I mean, how frustrating was that?
Yeah, it's not the start you want, especially, you come back out and, you just got to be dialed in and win that first 5 minutes of the second period. And, for us, we turn the puck over and then, don't get underneath the stick and don't get a shot block. And now all of a sudden it's a 1-1 game.
Yeah, I think the next two goals were killers. It started with a 2-1-0 between Matt Fusco and Cam McDonald. Fusco led the rush down the right wing. He passed the puck over to McDonald, who then passed it back to Fusco, and he fired a pass to helpless Kyle Chauvet at 6:39 to give the Big Green a 2-1 lead. What happened on that play that led to the 2-1-0?
Well, I think, we're trying to push and make something happen, and just too aggressive. We pull up at the blue line, and then, our both defensemen kind of drift up, and we turn the puck over, and it's a 2-on-0, and it's just it's a helpless feeling when you're watching that go down, because, most times that's it's a recipe for disaster, and that's exactly what happened. Kyle had no chance, and, we gave him a goal.
How bad did you feel for Kyle? I mean, he tried to play. Obviously, he's looking, watching, and trying to guess, and yeah, it's one of those tough situations where you just hope you get a break and guess right.
Yeah, I mean, he was solid for us all season. We hung him out to dry a lot this year, where we put him in bad situations, and a lot of times he was there to bail us out. Unfortunately, he couldn't make a play there, but you can't blame him.
Well, the analyst on the ESPN Plus broadcasts and previewing and getting before it started Saturday's game was claiming that Kyle was shaky in that game. And my first thought is you expected him to stop on 2-on-0 and stop and yeah. Come on, give him a break, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I think it's to say anything other than Kyle has been pretty consistent for us all season is he did a lot for us this year, and we put him in some bad situations, and a lot of that was team defense that we have to tighten up and help him out in the future.
Well, let's before we get to the Dartmouth third goal, shortly after Fusco's goal, Colby MacArthur appeared to have scored to tie it at two. but Dartmouth head coach Reed Cashman called for a video review, claiming there was offsides, and the video review proved correct for Cashman. The goal was wiped out, and momentum was lost. How about, was that a turning point?
Yeah, it obviously is a gut punch, and you know, we knew it was really close. We, you know, we're hoping that it kind of goes our way, but you know, it doesn't, and you know, you fight hard to get it back to 2-2, and then you get it pulled away from you. It's hard to respond, and I didn't think we handled, you know, the best. I mean, I think you got to put your head down and keep working. And I think for the most part we did it, but you got to get that next goal to tie it up instead of letting them get to the 3-1 mark.
Yeah. And then late in the period, 17.1 seconds left in the second, Dartmouth strikes again. Joey Musa puts in a rebound of a McDonald shot to give Dartmouth the 2-goal lead, and all the momentum heading the third period. It seemed like that final sequence there, Union was scrambling around and really didn't have, was sort of out of position a lot. And I think that led to the goal. Your thoughts about that?
Yeah, so we killed off a penalty, and so then we have a defenseman in the box that, you know, is coming out. So our rule of thumb on, you know, any, you know, shorthanded situation where we're getting to even strength is our, you know, guy coming out of the box becomes our center, and then we just, you know, the two forward killers become wings, and then our two D are obviously D. We got running around, coming out of that kill, which we did a great job on the kill, but we didn't handle that situation well, and you know, guys were, you know, switching positions, and it was a panic situation where we didn't handle it well, and the puck ends up in the back of our net.
Yeah, in the third period, you outshoot Dartmouth 8-4, but couldn't get a puck past Cooper Black, and the game ends 3-1. So, what was the message to the team after the game?
You know, the message was just we have to, as soon as you leave this locker room, that game is done. You leave it here, and we have to, you know, transition and get ready for the next game, because we, you know, basically we were talking about fighting for another day. That was kind of the message. You know, we want to fight for one more day together and one more day as a group. And it kind of started in that talk after the game on Friday night.
Yeah. Let's go on to game two. And once again, Union scores first when Caden Villegas got a power play goal and a major penalty at 7:49. Had to be the start you wanted.
Yeah, I thought the first period we outplayed them, you know, and, you know, we got that first goal, and was feeling really good about just the effort and the energy on the bench and just the way we were playing.
But then less than 8 minutes later, Braden Dorfman takes advantage of a turnover to tie it at 1. Yeah, tough one to give up with how well Union was playing at that point.
Yeah, and I think, you know, watching the video back, like we kind of knock the puck, like we get a stick on it and knock it right to their guy in front of the net who isn't even able to get a shot on it. He just kind of gets a poke on it, and it, you know, it trickles in over, you know, Kyle's pad, and just kind of just, it was one of those shots that wasn't even a shot. It just kind of like a pitching wedge or, you know, a little chip shot where it just kind of goes over. And, again, it was frustrating.
Yeah, unfortunately, watching the replay, it was John Prokop, and he pokes the puck, and I think he realized the minute he poked that, or the second he poked that puck, he was like, oh, crap, that's not good.
Yeah, it went to a bad spot, and, I mean, we were close defensively right there. We just didn't get underneath the stick, and, again, it ends up in the back of the net.
Second period, Villegas, gives Union the lead at 3:49, but Matt Fusco, who I think was a pain in the butt for this Dartmouth team all year against Union, ties it on a shot from the right point at 9:02. You go back to the locker room, tied at 2-2, and you're carrying the play. Was frustration mounting with the players?
I don't think we were frustrated. I think we were just, you know, felt like we'd, you know, at that point should have been up, but you know, it's the funny thing about this game. There's tons of crazy bounces, a lot of things. You know, sometimes you feel like you deserve to be in a better situation than you are, but you know, at that point we weren't, and you know, it was just, hey, we got to win this third period.
Yeah. Well, the game remains tied at 2, and the possibility of overtime was looming, but with 5:56 left, Cooper Flinton makes a nice play, pokes the puck off of Nick Young's stick along the left wing boards in the Union zone. It goes to Luke Hames. The dangerous Luke Hames in the slot, and Hames had no one around him when he fired the puck past Chauvet. And then Cam McDonald sealed the win on an empty net goal. And Dartmouth moves on to Lake Placid for the ECC Hockey Championship round for the first time since 2011. While you guys are left to figure out what happened, what was the mood like in the locker room, and what did you say to the team?
That's the worst talk in all of coaching. I mean, you don't know what to say. Nothing's right. You can't – you got, you know – you know, for the most part, you know, 28 young men and, you know, six coaches, you know, standing around crying. I mean, it's a terrible feeling. It's a bad spot to be in. You feel for the guys. You just, you don't want to tell them how much you appreciate everything they've done for you and how hard they've worked. And it's straight, you know, a punch right to the gut, because you're in a hockey game. You were, you know, one goal away from playing again. And you know, if we get that third goal to make it 3-2 for us, like we're playing on Sunday, and we just didn't get it. And again, it's mostly just thank yous and, you know, how much you appreciate everything they've done.
We talked after the game Saturday, and you mentioned about Kaden Villegas. I thought he was the best player of the weekend. You mentioned he was playing through a lot of injuries. Talk about him getting ready for these games and how he was dealing with that.
Yeah, so he's spending a lot of time with our trainer, and whether it was just icing, heating, like stretching, different exercises just to try to, you know, make sure he was able to play. He didn't take contact until, he was in a non-contact jersey until Thursday. And, luckily for us, we had him because he played outstanding.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we will recap the season. You're listening to the Parting Shots podcast.
It's the most historic conference in college hockey. It's a battle night in and night out. ECAC Hockey, an iconic conference home to 12 of the most prestigious universities and programs in the world, and showcasing the best student athletes in the sport. Top-notch facilities and arenas, incomparable traditions, passionate fans, alumni who go on to become elite professionals, leaders, and champions. ECAC Hockey, there's no experience like it.
Hi, I'm Daily Gazette news columnist Andrew Waite and host of the Weighing In podcast, which takes you inside my award-winning featured news column by offering the backstory, thought process, and interviews that inform my work. Plus, readers have their chance to respond. The Weighing In podcast is available at dailygazette.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to get all the latest news from the Daily Gazette on your phone or tablet? We have an app for that. The Daily Gazette app allows you to read all the newspaper stories and columns from our dedicated team of journalists. The app is free. You can download the app from the Apple or Google App Stores.
Hi, this is ECAC Hockey Commissioner and Union Hockey alum Doug Christensen. You're listening to the Parting Shots podcast with Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Shaw.
Welcome back to the podcast. Union men's head hockey coach Josh Housie joins me. We're going to take a look back at the season. The Garnet Chargers finished with a 16-18-3 overall record. The team improved by 2 wins over last season and lost 1 less game. And in ECAC hockey play, Union was 9-10-3 for 32 points. The team improved by 6 points and finished 6-2 spots higher than last year. Union was picked to finish 8th in the standings in the coach's preseason poll. I mean, I know the records were under 500, but how happy are you with the improvement in wins and points?
I felt like it was a good step this year. I was hoping for maybe like a jump forward, but I think it was a really good step as a group, and just the buy-in from the team and just the overall, establishing an identity. Last year I felt like it was a lot of scramble and just, didn't really have a plan for everything. And now the guys know exactly how things are going to go, how we want to do things. And again, I was hoping for maybe a bigger jump and getting to Placid, but really happy with, the majority of the effort we put forth.
More of a comfort level, you think?
Oh, it's night and day different. And, I know as a staff, we feel, really positive about the direction of the program right now.
Well, the team was in contention for an ECAC Hockey Tournament first-round bid or first-round bye right up to the last game of the regular season. But I think what cost the team a chance to have that first weekend off was the inconsistency in their play on the weekends. I mean, to me, the final 2 weekends of the season showed that the Garnet Chargers played excellent games against Harvard at home and against Cornell at Lionel Rink on the first night of the weekend, getting wins, and then the next day's games against Darby and the Colgate. Maybe the intensity was not as sharp as it was in the game before. Is that a lesson the team takes in the offseason to work on?
Yeah, I think you look at the performance for us in those games, and yeah, we left a little bit on the table. I also think like both weekends against Yale Brown, those really hurt us. Like there was too many points we gave up those weekends. Those were weekends we probably, you at least got to get 3, looking to get 6 points. And, you know, 1 we get 2, and I think 1 we got 3. So those were disappointing weekends for us. But again, there's, you know, a level of growth for us as a group that, like, we can play with, you know, some of the top teams in the league, all the top teams in the league. And then on those Saturday nights when you're following back up, you gotta protect the effort on Friday night with the Saturday night effort.
The team's offense improved greatly over last season. After scoring 86 goals last year, Union had 123 this season. It's the first time Union scored over 100 goals since it got 112 in the 2018-19 season. The Gardner Chargers had 5 players with 10 or more goals, led by Chaz Smedru with 14. 8 players had 20 or more points, including 2 with 30 or more. John Prokhov led the way with 35 points, and Caden Viekas had 30. What led to the offensive improvement?
Well, I think guys, you know, learn that they have the ability to make some mistakes offensively and, you know, really try to push it and play with some creativity and, you know, be able to you know, try to do some things that maybe they didn't feel like they could do. I do think that you know, the way we want to play offensively is we want to have a, you know, a free flowing offense and you know, get pucks to the net and you know, get some dirty ones, but also, like, there were a lot of highlight reel goals where guys were, you know, thinking outside of the box and you know, trying some things that, you know, they wouldn't have done in the first year. Yeah.
Well, barring any players deciding to leave via the transfer portal or pro hockey free agency, the top 5-point scorers are back. Besides Prokhov and Viegas, Josh Nixon, Nate Hanley, and Brandon Bear will return. How important is that?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, in the landscape of college hockey now, the number one thing we have to do is recruit our players that are able to come back. I think, you know, I don't love where college hockey recruiting is and the landscape of guys, you know, jumping ship and going different places. But, you know, for us, we have a solid nucleus coming back, and they're all great people first and foremost, but they're also great hockey players. So we need to make sure those guys all come back and we take care of them.
While the team did score 123 goals, it did allow 121, 4 more than last year. What does the team have to do to cut that down next season?
Well, I think, you know, we still had a lot of, you know, freshmen and sophomore D playing. So early on, there was inconsistency. You know, Kyle, you know, was a first-year starter in the net, and I thought he, you know, grew into that role and, you know, took a big step for us there. And there was just some games where we can't have the 8, you know, this 8-6 game against RPI. Like, some of those just, they have to go away. And, you know, we got to be in that 0-1 or 2 against. Like, that's that for us is where we're at our best, is when we're defending really hard. And we made some steps in the second half of the year, but it's still an area for where we have to be better.
The fans might disagree. They like to see a lot of goals.
Well, we still got to score a lot, yeah. So, but we got to tighten it up in that 0-1 or 2 defensively.
Well, one aspect of the team that was consistent the entire year was the penalty kill. It's been in the top 5 all season. It currently sits second in the country at 87.3%. Boston College is on top. Union scored 9 shorthanded goals, led by Carter Corpy's 3. I mean, how pleased were you with the consistency of the penalty kill?
Yeah, I thought it was great. I mean, obviously last year, you know, we were terrible for the first half of the year, and we made a change in our structure and system. And, you know, since then it's been outstanding, and it's you know, guys have really bought into, you know, having a culture of toughness and willing to, you know, block shots and defend for each other. And you know, this year we added the element of, you know, putting a little more pressure up ice and trying to create some turnovers. And that's where you saw the shorthanded goals come into play.
What player or players did you see improve over the season?
I think there was, I mean, you look at that senior class. I mean, I think for the most part, every single one of them, like, had a career year. So was really pleased with those guys. You know, obviously Brandon Beer coming in as a first year guy, but, you know, had no points in 10 games as a transfer, and, you know, having, you know, right around 25 this year. You know, Prokop took a good step. Nick Young took a good step. Cullen Ferguson, I think you look at what he did offensively, really pleased, because he still continued to defend hard. There's a lot of guys. I guess I could go up and down the lineup. I was pleased with the you know, overall improvement of a lot of players.
Yeah, I think I mentioned you before, Colby MacArthur. I thought really, I mean, he started to, you know, get more of a regular shift and, you know, time on the power play, and he seemed to be a guy who last year didn't see much time, got some more playing time this year and made the most of it.
You're 100% correct. Like, he made a big step for us, and he gained a lot of confidence with the puck and just you know, the overall ability that he could, you know, protect it, hold on to it, and then make a play with it. So yeah, excited for his future.
Yeah. What? Yeah. I mean, I thought you improved a lot. I mean, you used your timeouts better than you did last year. But what do you think you need to improve on as you get ready for your third year as the head coach?
Well, I think we've sort of established the culture we want now and where we want to be and what the effort is. I think there's a couple guys that we can hold to a higher standard next year and make sure they're defending harder and managing pucks better. I think you look at just our, giving up 121 goals. That's not, we got to tighten that up. We got to be under 100 at least and, push that down into that, 0-1 or 2 a night, what kind of talked about. I think we definitely improved our communication as a staff and just, defining expectations for the players. So that'll just be, another step we need to take.
Had a reader question from Anthony Sachs. He's asking about the goaltending situation. He writes, Kyle Chauvet had the worst save percentage of any D1 goalie with more than 30 games this season and the 11th worst of any goalie with over 33% playing time. Lucas Massey took a large step back in Lincoln, that's in the USHL, after his commitment last season and does not look like someone who will get significant minutes. Joe Sharab and Axel Reed were non-factors this season. Does Halgie plan to add a reliable starter in the transfer portal or enter next season with essentially the same goalie room? If no additions are made, is there an open competition or is Chauvet the starter by default?
No intentions to add anyone out of the transfer portal in the goaltending position, like zero. Mm-hmm. Absolutely believe in the group we have coming back. Kyle's put in some pretty difficult times and bailed us out a lot of games. So I'm really confident in him. The USHL is a league that is absolutely cutthroat on goaltenders. Mm-hmm. I know like Jack Stark at Yale this year was right around a 90 save percentage in that league and came into college hockey and did outstanding. So I know Lincoln's taken a step back defensively this year and I have actually been really pleased with the way Massey's played in his games. Maybe take out his last game. He didn't have a great last game, but he's made big steps here in the second half of the year. And then, Joe and Axel continue to work, put their time in. So it's not Kyle's net. Like that's never it's an open competition. We'll see what guys do this summer. I 100% believe in Kyle Chauvet as a goaltender, just like I do the other three guys, like if they have to go in. So, but no intentions to look outside the portal. Kyle got a ton of experience this year, and he'll be, ready to work to be the starter next year as well. But he's going to have three guys that are getting after him.
I think also people tend to forget the 62 save effort Kyle had against UConn in that 5-0 game where he had 30 saves alone in the first period and kept this game scoreless at that point.
Yeah, I mean, some of the situations, like I said, we put him in were not great. But he's played, 35 games this year, gives him a ton of experience, and he's a tireless worker. He'll be training all, summer, and he'll be ready to go just like the other two guys and Lucas.
Some news on Monday that the team captain Ben Tupker signed with Troy Rivier of the East Coast, or ECHL, it's not the East Coast Hockey League, even though it's what it stands for. But how happy are you for Ben?
Extremely happy. I'll never be able to repay him for, everything he's done for this program in his 2 years here. He's a great person, great hockey player. Gonna miss him a ton, but really happy for him.
Anybody else at this point? I mean, we're talking here on Tuesday, and I'll post this podcast on Wednesday. But anybody at this point, or is it too soon?
I do think we'll have a couple more guys, signing as far as with the seniors. I think the big thing is that they, obviously got to finish out their degrees. So it's a varying level of guys that have to be on campus and guys that have the ability to maybe to leave and play. But I think all six of them will, have the ability to play some sort of professional hockey next year.
Any concerns about John Prokop? I mean, obviously he's attracting some NHL attention.
I mean, it's always a concern for everybody. Our conversations with John have been really positive about him coming back for next year. That's kind of, been the, his intention. Now, somebody puts a contract in front of your face, it's a different story, but I think he's got, room for growth in his game but if he feels it's right for him to sign, we're never going to hold anybody back from that. Like that's our goal, is for them to get a degree and for them to play pro hockey.
Well, the championships of ECHC hockey tournament will take place this weekend in Lake Placid, the Friday semifinals, Quinnipiac and St. Lawrence, and Dartmouth and Cornell. Who do you like playing Saturday, and who do you like winning the championship?
Oh, that's a good one. I mean, no disrespect to Quinnipiac, but I hope someone else wins it, because I'd like to see two teams from our league get in. Brex at St. Lawrence is a really good friend, and I've coached with him before. So if he could get it done, I'd be really happy for him. But if Shafe or Cash get it done, we'll be excited for those guys as well. And if Quinnipiac wins, we'll send them a congratulations as well. But I would like to see the league get two teams.
Quinnipiac has a history of not winning this. All the years they've been in this league, they've only won one ECAC hockey tournament title. So I mean, they lost last year to Colgate in overtime. So I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if Quinnipiac doesn't win.
Well, and they're already in the tournament, and they know that, where these other three teams are going to be playing really desperate and, you know, trying to earn their way in. So, I could see it. You know, it won't surprise me if Quinnipiac wins, but for the league's sake, I hope someone else does.
Well, speaking of Lake Placid, it was announced Monday that the championship round will stay there for through 2026. Are you happy with that? And are your fellow coaches happy about that?
I haven't communicated with too many coaches about it, just because I've been maybe not in the best headspace for the last couple of days since that announcement came out. It's always tough when you're saying goodbye to some of these guys. But I'm excited about it. We have to get there, and so we're going to be playing there in the next couple of years. Let's go.
Yeah. Some surprising news coming out of Princeton on Monday, when the university fired head coach Ron Fogarty. I mean, he got the Tigers to an ECAC hockey tournament championship in 2018. The team has struggled in recent years. What did you think of the firing?
I disappointed in the sense that I thought I was coaching against Ron when they won it in 2018, and he did a great job there. And then you kind of go through the COVID struggles and like not playing for the Ivy League teams. I think that makes it difficult. I thought there was enough there that they've done a pretty nice job recruiting and just what they have coming in. So I thought it was going to be a program maybe on the rise. And I just think in the landscape now of college hockey, when you let your coach go, it's scary, because like your team is wide open and anybody can come in and, you know, cherry pick your guys. And it'll be interesting.
It just seems to me they're impatient down there. Princeton's obviously a basketball school. Let's be honest, and maybe some football, but it seems like they just fire coaches for on a whim. I don't know if that's a stable job there.
Yeah, it's a tough one. And so like they're limited in spots every year, as far as I believe it's seven. They can bring in seven players, but if they lose one, like they don't get to replace them. Mm-hmm. It's so like you have to wait 4 years to get that player back. So it's a tough cycle. So it's it's obviously a great school, but it is a tough place.
And I'm going to be probably chastised for this. I mean, Hobey Baker Rink, okay, it's historic, but it's an old rink. I mean, I don't know if the amenities are great there for working out or things like that. It's cold in there. Maybe it's time, if Princeton really cares about hockey, to invest in a new building.
Yeah, I think it is an old building. You're walking and the floor is not, it's not, you're like, it's up and down and twists and turns wherever you're going. Like there's just little things about it that you're right, it's historic, but again, I haven't been in their locker room. I don't know what their facilities are like.
Well, but. And the benches are right. There's no separation between the benches. I mean, if it's something were to break out, oh my God.
Yeah. Anytime anybody in our fraternity kind of gets let go, you feel for them. And he's been, nothing but a class act to me every time I dealt with him. And so you feel bad. Obviously, you don't know everything that's going on over there. So I just hope, if they did let him go, it's for the right reasons. And, I don't know. Like, I feel for him.
Yeah, he was always honest. I mean, that's what I loved about Ron, especially after last year when I talked to before the first round matchup with you guys. And, he was wanting, obviously, he didn't like the format of the first round. And even after they won that game against you guys, I asked him, do you like it now? And he said, no. He still did not like the format because he just wished it was a best of three.
Yeah, he's completely honest. He'll shoot you straight. He's nothing but a class act to me. And just I've been there when we beat him in the playoffs. I've been there when we've knocked him out, or he's knocked me out. And he's always been just a true gentleman.
Yeah. Well, Josh, the first year of this has been a lot of fun. I appreciate you making the time to do this. I think the audience enjoyed it. I think this segment got popular as the year went on, where, you know, a lot of people were listening to it, and, you know, we were getting questions. So look forward to doing it in year two, in the final year of Messing Rink.
Yeah, it'll be great. And I do appreciate all the people that, you know, ask questions, and hopefully you felt at least that you got a little bit of what we were looking for out of it. So,
but one final question let me ask you, schedule-wise, are we looking at anything interesting at this point that you can publicly say?
Our contracts aren't done. I know we're looking at, we'll probably be at BU for a game. I think Vermont comes back for two. University of Alaska will be coming here for two. So, like, those are a few that I think we got kind of locked up. So it'll be a little bit different of a schedule. It is nice, too, knowing now kind of how our class schedule works, that, you know, we'll hopefully have more home games when all the students are in. And but, yeah, excited about some of the stuff we got planned for next year.
Yeah, especially the final year of Messing Rink. Should be a lot of fun, a lot of, you know, hopefully the school does it right and does, you know, honors the legacy of this rink and the players that played. Let's hope they do something about that in, next season.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, it's already kind of been in the works and talked about of, you know, making sure we go out on the right note.
Okay. Josh, again, thank you very much, and have a good summer. We'll chat from, you know, time to time, especially, you know, the golf outing coming up in July with the that'd be a lot of fun with the 10-year anniversary of the championship.
Yeah, that's going to be, you know, amazing for the program and to get everybody back. And, you know, now that the arena is being built, you know, get some pictures in front of that and, you know, honor those guys. Yeah.
Josh, appreciate it. And we'll talk soon. That's Josh Algy. I'll have another edition of the Parting Shots podcast on Thursday. I'll talk to College of St. Rose women's basketball head coach Will Brown. We'll look back at the final season of basketball at the school, which is closing at the end of the academic year. I'll also speak with USHO's Dan Rubin. We'll preview the championship round of the ECAC hockey tournament. The views expressed on the Parting Shots podcast are not necessarily those of the Daily Gazette Company. The Parting Shots podcast is a production of the Daily Gazette Company. I'm Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Schott. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time. From the Parting Shots podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, good day, good hockey.